This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. As science began to take steps to understand the brain, some seemingly primitive procedures at first delivered results. Back in the 1930s, a surgery called the lobotomy offered hope and then was perceived as a medical miracle, but eventually acquired a ghoulish Frankenstein reputation for butchering people. And today, there are lessons from the kind of brain surgery the lobotomy started. Our friends at Retro Report look at lobotomy in their latest documentary. Producer Barbara Dury says the procedure's U.S. popularity was led by its cult figure proponent, Dr. Walter Freeman.
He started with a procedure that had started with a doctor in Portugal. He picked that up. That was the prefrontal lobotomies, where they would drill two holes and they would basically cut brain tissue. And he came up with a ice pick from his kitchen drawer where he would go through the eye socket and do the same thing, but he would enter that way and basically mush around and sort of cut brain tissue.
As ghoulish and kind of creepy as that sounds, here's author Jack Elhai talking about Dr. Walter Freeman and remembering that he was really a kind of, you know, miracle worker.
One of Freeman's many gifts, skills, was cultivating the media. And they reciprocated with a lot of very favorable coverage. Miracle cure to the brain. Cutting the brain cures the soul. The media was all over it.
Tell me the story of Anna Ruth Channels.
Anna Ruth Channels was a young woman who had had severe headaches for years. And her husband had read about the surgery, knew about Dr. Freeman, and contacted him. And she had a lobotomy. And, you know, it took the headaches away, but it took everything else. She could not take care of herself.
Well, here's Carol Duncanson, whose mother, Anna Ruth Channels, describes the, once again, the promises from Freeman and the outcome.
Walter Freeman promised she would just be happy. Everything would be fine. And who wouldn't go rah-rah for that when you're hurting so badly? When they brought her home, she did not know how to do the activities of daily living, even the most basic things like toileting and bathing. She wasn't the mother that I would ever describe as being motherly.
How hurt and angry was Carol Duncanson as she understood the reality of what happened as she grew up?
I think this devastated her life. She has devoted a huge portion of her life to finding out what happened, to getting her mother recognized. So it devastated her life.
Ethicist Baron Lerner in your documentary describes how if Freeman went off the rails, there was a sense that this was a temptation. The idea that you could possibly do something in the mysterious brain was an exciting frontier of science.
People were enormously upset about the mental illness that they saw that they couldn't treat otherwise. They were excited about the possibilities of new technology. I think we can see how many of those factors are still at play today.
Lobotomy has a role today, and that's one of the other things that you describe.
It does have a role because they understood from lobotomy that the brain could be surgically manipulated to help people that could not be helped. Now, medications came in, and there are new medicines all the time, but they don't work for everyone. They're untreatable psychiatric illnesses and untreatable depressions and PTSD and untreatable OCD that need some type of surgery. And so they realized from lobotomy that if they could try to harness this and do it properly, that you could do it.
Barbara Dury, producer for Retro Report, thanks so much.
Thank you.
You can see the full Retro Report video on our website, thetakeaway.org.